welcome to the second episode of Just Push Play, a music podcast. Today's guests are Anastasia Grace and Maximilian Haunt from the band The Haunt. Thank you guys for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So, you're fairly new to the game. I mean, you've been around for a couple of years, but it seems like things are really amping up for you right now. You had a self-titled EP in 2018 with the anti-bullying mini-movie music video for All Went Black, and that pretty much introduced you to the world. So tell us about how the band formed, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So, yeah, last year we put out the EP. Obviously, it was led by that single for All Went Black. Two other singles with music videos, and then a fourth single actually came with that EP. But that EP was the culmination of work that we had done for the past 4 years beforehand. All in Black was actually written when Anna was 12, being bullied through middle school. And it was when we were making the music video, we decided that since she wrote it in that time period, we wanted to tap into those feelings and become a type of voice for that cause. And so we definitely... That was where we were headed on that first EP with All Went Black. How we formed, though, was Anna was about 9, and we discovered that she could, like, actually sing, not just, like, little girl cute sing. And when when we figured that out, my parents, like, immediately put her in singing lessons because they've always been super supportive of our creativity and stuff like that. They've had us in piano since we were, like, really young, probably around 5 years old each. And then, when we discovered that she could sing, we put her in some vocal lessons, and then, at all of her recitals, and she would perform at some open mics, and she would make me sit on the stage and not look at her. And I wasn't playing an instrument at all yet. I was just sitting there next to her for moral support. And I wasn't allowed to look at her. And eventually I got kind of sick of that. So I decided that I needed to play an instrument with her if I was going to be there for moral support. So first it was piano, and then I started taking guitar, and quickly that became my main instrument. And that's the story of how The Haunt, originally Anastasia Max, started.
That's kind of funny, you know, just like sitting with your back turned on stage with people looking at you. Obviously, it must have been awkward for you, but probably for you too, Anastasia, because I mean, you're up there and you're singing. I mean, probably less for you, but you know, to have moral support, but knowing that, you know, he can't look at you too. That must have been kind of weird also. But
yeah.
She preferred it that way because she was very shy. She was just and she still is. That's why I'm telling the story.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but you know, I was doing some research on you guys, and I, you know, it said basically that Billie Holiday was like flowing out of the bedroom at 4 years old, and you're compared to a lot of singers and songwriters from like the 80s, like Susie Sue from, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so where did that begin? Where did your influences come from? Was it just something that you heard that you were enthralled by, or have you always loved music?
When you first heard the old blues music and stuff like that, that was like...
Yeah, I would always ask my mom to put it on.
She would ask my mom to play... well, to our mom. She would ask our mom to put on like the music that sounds like Christmas.
And it was all like Billie Holiday and Etta James and Ella Fitzgerald and all of those.
And then she discovered more modern ones like Amy Winehouse and stuff like that. And, you know, that was definitely a huge part of her influence.
Yeah, so I mean that's an awful young age to to be like so enthralled by jazz music. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get into it until like my 20s. so being
yeah,
four, you're there's definitely an old soul in there somewhere.
Exactly. That's what we always say. We always say it's the old soul of an old blues singer trapped in a 16-year-old girl's body.
So recently you just put out two singles and videos as part of a trilogy. The first one, Why Are You So Cold, and Cigarettes and Feelings, which you call your first happy song. And the videos feature Alfonso the Alien and a love triangle. So tell us where you came up with the concept.
That's a loaded question. but that's really a loaded question.
So the whole alien concept, because Why Are You So Cold, Alfonso's not in it. His hands are in it. But Anna gets abducted in that video. And the two songs that have the alien theme running through them actually came from the fact that our rehearsal space is space number 51. And space number 51 uh-huh. always stuck out to us because before the meme, we were big into Area 51 conspiracies and things like that, and how, we've always just been big into that kind of thing. And
so that's where it comes from. So that's great. But the latest, Cigarettes and Feelings, like I mentioned before, you described it as your first happy song, and it elaborates a little bit on the little love triangle between Anna and the alien and this new guy who comes into the fray. So That just came out.
We got a couple creative minds on this side doing some weird shit.
So when's the next single coming out? And do you have the name of the song or video at this point?
We are not talking about it yet. We are trying to focus on Cigarettes and Feelings, pushing it. A lot of things in the works right now.
That are coming.
And I promise you, you'll be one of the first people to know.
All right. So you're also working on a new EP for 2020. How many songs do you have on tap for that?
We have five, but I believe there will probably be more.
So who do you have producing the EP?
The songs were produced by Matt Good. He's known for recently doing a couple acts such as Asking Alexandria's their last record and the new one that's on its way out right now. The singles are being released for it. Also, he did Sleeping with Sirens last record, which is charting all over the rock charts right now. So congratulations to those guys. And he also back earlier in his career, and I mean, he's still in this group. He's still one of the original members of From First to Last, which was a group formed with Skrillex as the lead
mm-hmm.
before Skrillex was Skrillex.
So the first single for this trilogy basically has a message in regards to social media. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
When I was writing the song, it kind of felt as if there was if you were able to ask a question as a complete outsider from social media, from the way that we observe the world today through this weird lens of what would look the best or what displays my image the best way, what the world would be like right now, because we're not only facing unique issues right now that we've never faced in our world before, but we're facing them under the lens of how everyone frames every issue. And I think that creates this social dissonance where people feel very shut off from one another, and it's rare that people have like genuine connections with anyone besides their closest friends or family. And so this song was kind of asked from an outsider's perspective, which later became an alien, Alfonso, why are you so cold? And it was kind of aimed at the entire human race. And I think it also applies into the next music video's concept of a love triangle and things like that. I think people right now are very shut off to what they are actually feeling and more in touch with what they are trying to invoke others to feel with some made-up fake image, and not caring enough about themselves and their feelings and the feelings of the people around them.
Yes, and having to deal with instant gratification and obsession with themselves and things like that. That's what I got out of it too. Like it's just like posting a video on YouTube. People are always consumed with the amount of numbers that the video is getting. When in reality, if you look back at like bands from like prior to YouTube, they didn't know how widely received they were, because they only relied on how many times their album was being played on the radio or how many times MTV played it. They didn't actually see the numbers. So, you know, when people see numbers that they aren't quite that impressed with, they get like obsessed over
worthlessness of themselves based on mm-hmm. numbers that are just don't matter at all.
Right.
You know, if you when in fact it's tomorrow, basically nobody's life would change unless you're someone who makes money, all their money on social media, you know?
Yeah.
And so we spend so much time obsessed with ourselves and obsessed with these fake images of ourselves that literally don't matter at all.
So the latest single and video, Cigarettes and Feelings, was co-written with Christian Medici, and he did work with like Pink and Lovely, and how did that union come to play? How did that happen?
It came to fruition through some older management, and when we got in the studio with him, it was a great experience. Everything just flowed so smoothly. We were really vibing off of each other's ideas, and the song was done within one day. So it was definitely the smoothest recording experience we've ever had. It was just 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
And you recently opened for Lovely the band too, right?
We did. Yeah, we did. We opened for them.
How was that experience?
Tour. It was great. Yeah, they were awesome. It was just one show that we opened for them. Actually, here in South Florida, we opened for them at the Culture Room. And that was awesome, because it's great playing shows in your hometown, especially on the bigger stage like that.
Yeah. So how did you meet the other band members, Nick and Nat?
Nat has been around since the beginning of our band. Nat was actually when me and Anna first started playing music together. She was the one who suggested that I sing in the group as well. She heard me singing upstairs. She was my mom's close friend.
Yeah, our mom's closest friend. She was also helping, like, being our manager, kind of,
for
a while.
She was our internal manager for pretty much all the time leading up to when she became the bassist. And she still does a lot of those jobs. But now, obviously, her main job is playing music with us. We had other members in the band beforehand, but when things got complicated, she came with us on tour with Palais Royale. And after an experience like that, you know, it's hard to go back. It's hard to go back to how things were before. And I think she wanted to remain our bassist, and it was clear that we've always wanted her to be our bassist. So it was pretty smooth transition. And as far as Nick, we actually met him locally. He was playing in a band that existed before us that he was in. And a band that existed before he was in our group. He came to a bunch of our shows around the South Florida area and really, really liked our music. And again, things got complicated with our old members, and he knew all the parts, and things fell perfectly into place. And now we have the strongest group that we've had in this band for the entirety of its existence.
So, like you mentioned, you went on a global tour with Palais Royal, and was this your first experience going on a U.S. and then an international tour?
Well, it was definitely our first experience internationally, and it was our first tour playing sold-out venues like that, even nationally. We did two U.S. tours before the Palais tours, but with Palais, we did Europe twice, and we did the U.S. and Canada. And, I mean, we can't thank them enough for that opportunity. Those guys are fucking awesome, and
we love them.
Yeah, we love them, and we loved every second.
Yeah, it seemed like a good fit. So what were your favorite cities to play in?
Well,
in America?
And, yeah, are you talking about
anywhere throughout the world?
let's see, Paris.
Yeah, definitely Paris, Amsterdam.
Paris, Amsterdam. Yeah.
England, like London.
London.
Dallas.
They were all.
Somewhere. Yeah, it's really hard to pick favorites.
You're not naming the whole tour.
Yeah, we're just gonna name every show on the tour if you don't mind. I'll get some list out. But yeah, it was an incredible experience because the fans that show up for Palais are so energized that. It's really difficult to get in front of audiences like that. So we're so grateful that they allowed us the opportunity to go with them and get that type of exposure. Those fans are amazing. It doesn't
so,
matter.
What lessons did you learn for the next international tour? Because I'm sure there were a few that you learned. I mean, every time that I know that a band is going internationally, they have like a whole list of things that they need to do in order to, you know, make it go as smoothly as possible. We were
actually very fortunate. I can't think of many things that didn't go the way that.
No, we have really good humans with us. So.
Yeah, we have a really solid group of people with us when we go anywhere. On tour. The main thing I think is there's no, there's no hotels on the sides of roads. So you have to make sure that you're like everything that you're going to do, all the driving and stuff that you're going to do is, you know, done beforehand. That's the biggest thing.
Know how to drive on the other side.
Yeah. How to drive on the other side of the road.
Definitely, and make sure your visas are up to date.
Yeah, of course, that wasn't an issue for us, knock on wood.
So you were hailed early on by Miami New Times for Best Unknown Band. Hopefully that's changed and you're known in your area. It from the way that it sounds, it looks like that's the case. So, and you're getting other accolades from like Kerrang and Rock Sound and things like that. When you see your name in print or in a radio interview, you hear yourself. What do you think? Is it still surreal for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the print stuff is always surreal. And I think that always will be surreal because you get that magazine in the mail and you're looking at it and, you know,
you're knowing other people are looking at this.
Yeah, it's crazy. One of the most surreal ones, obviously the most surreal one was definitely Rock Sound that we've gotten so far, but one of the most surreal ones I think was seeing us in the Boca magazine because it was such a thing that you see in every store in the area that we're in, and seeing us on like a centerfold there was pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Boca is probably known for like the more upper, like as far as like upper middle class and upper class sort of area. So to open a centerfold and see a band that's not quite, you know, like not quite in Izod or khaki pants too is probably weird.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to move our city away from that as much as we can.
Yeah. We got lots of edgy people, though.
Yeah.
Right. So, in coming days, do you have any plans that you can tell the listeners about? or
well,
is
I mean,
it just
in,
as
in Florida? We have a few Florida dates coming up over the next month. They're on our Instagram. You can check them out if you want to.
And where can people find information on your band?
Well, our main form of social media is Instagram, but we usually tweet everything and Facebook everything as well. And we do have a website, thehauntband.com.
Okay. And in closing, anything that you would like to tell your followers or my listeners?
Listen to Cigarettes and Feelings.
Yeah, listen to our music.
Yeah, I think you guys will like it. It's good stuff.
And they could find that, of course, on YouTube, correct?
On YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, Tidal, you know.
All
that.
Of it. Just look it up. It will be there.
Yeah, it's there.
We're there for you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for calling in to Just Push Play. And thanks for listening. And we'll be closing out the show with a small clip of Cigarettes and Feelings by The Haunt. To find out more information or to find out when the next episode airs, be sure to visit me on Twitter at Just Push Play Pod or Just Push Play, a music podcast on Facebook. Thanks for listening and rock steady.